A pastor recalls, after a recent worship service, the mother of a fidgety 5-year-old boy told me how she finally got her son to sit still and be quiet during the sermon. After halfway through the sermon, she leaned over and whispered into her son's ear, "If you don't be quiet, the preacher is going to lose his place and will have to start his sermon all over again." The mother reported that it worked. Today's gospel story tells us that Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath teaching the scriptures. Yep, Jesus was at church. You see, even Jesus knew that there is no such thing as being so spiritually advanced on your journey of faith, so holy, so saved, that you do not need to gather with the people of God to worship, pray, sing, and study. If anybody had an excuse not to go to worship on a regular basis, it was Jesus. So why should he really show up at the synagogue? But he did. And there he was sharing his gifts. So I wonder, what in God's name are you doing? Let me say that again so you get the inflection. What in God's name are you doing? What are the gifts you are bringing to God's people? In today's gospel, on this particular Sabbath, a woman who for the last 18 years had lived with shaming stares and words of judgment. We do not know for sure, but she could have been an older woman with 18 years of osteoporosis. Or she could have been a younger woman with 18 years of scoliosis from her childhood. Or anything in between. She was living the life she had in the body she had. That life included gathering for corporate prayer and study. Neither ability nor disability made her any different than anyone else in that regard. It was Sabbath. She went to synagogue. Jesus is there in the place of prayer and study, and he sees her. And he sees her need. He calls to her. Unlike other women and men in the Gospels, she does not seek him out. She does not seek out Jesus to be healed. She's just living her life, and healing comes to her. You know, some people are at home in bodies we could not imagine living in. They are at peace with themselves, their abilities, and what others call their disabilities. On this day, she was willing to receive healing, and her body, which was bent and broken, was unbroken by Jesus. Jesus' touch offered more than a miracle. His actions had a purpose for her and beyond her. Here is where this is true, that our bodies matter. And our bodies are holy. And this is a lesson for us as a church. We do a lot of hugging in the Episcopal Church. We often say a hug in church may be the only hug some people receive all week. So let the church be a place where people can be loved on safely. Safely. Let us always be respectful of the boundaries of other people's bodies. Not everyone wants a hug. Not everyone wants a hug from me. That's okay. I respect that boundary. Furthermore, let us never use our status as adults to press a touch, hug, or kiss on want a child that doesn't want it, or ask first. We must teach our children that they own their bodies and they can say no. At church, we pass the peace because we understand that we are to offer a holy touch, a loving touch, a healing touch to one another as part of our worship, because our bodies matter and touch matters. The touch of Jesus heals, frees, liberates, reconfigures, and restores. It unbreaks that which is broken. This is the primary mission of Jesus, to free us so that we may live fully to love and worship God, to love ourselves and to serve our neighbors. However, yeah, there's always one in the crowd. That leader of the synagogue sees the power of God at work before his very eyes in that very place, and it made him mad. Because breaking the law was more important to him than the love and power of God at work through Jesus. Bless his heart, he just didn't get it. Oh, Lord, help us get it in those moments. Jesus' touch is not only loving, healing, and transformational, it is also disruptive. After Jesus had unbroken her body and their biases, the people in the synagogue, instead of getting back to the day's liturgy, joined the woman in celebrating this liberating act of God through Jesus. Even if we faithfully attend church or synagogue and follow our service of worship, we still need to be shaken out of our complacency. There are times we need that. So here's the kicker. You know, I'm from the West, and that's one of our sayings, probably because horses kick, animals kick, cowboys kick. Here's the kicker. So you always want to listen to what I say after that little saying, because it's that punchline. Oh, that was a bad body move. That's a violent body move. Okay, so it's the important thing. Jesus' purpose for healing her was not fulfilled when she stands up straight. The purpose is not fulfilled when she is named daughter of Abraham. And it's not even fulfilled when she begins to praise God. Her healing is fulfilled, completed, when the faith community, the people in the synagogue, witness new life in their midst and they join her in rejoicing. In other words, Jesus healed her for herself, yes. And Jesus healed her for her witness to the synagogue, to that faith community. Wow, that's an interesting concept. We in the West who so think individually, that the purpose was for her and for that witness. It is the same for you and for me. If you have been healed, freed from sin, forgiven, liberated, reconfigured, restored, reconciled, it is for your benefit, but not just for you. It's for the benefit of the entire faith community's witness. We need a witness. We need to hear these stories. Amen? Yes. It's for the faith community's benefit also. So don't keep that to yourself. Tell us your story. The people in the synagogue didn't just give thanks for that miracle of healing. They gave thanks and rejoiced for everything Jesus was doing. It It's another lesson for us today. My friend Indira says, "Why are you here?" She does liturgy, and she teaches liturgy, and she says to the congregation, "So if you're not involved with worship, why are you here?" Now, I can't speak like that, but she can, so I can quote her. I think we're here. I think you are here to give thanks to God. I think you're here because you see, you know that God sees your needs, that God is calling you, God is touching you, healing you, teaching you, forgiving you. I think you're here to thank God for showing us how to live and love, for being with us within our bodies, for being God incarnate among us. The church gives witness to the power of God moving among us. I know the Spirit is active all the time, everywhere you are, and not just here on Sunday mornings during this particular hour. I know the Spirit's on the move in your lives 24/7. Now, church attendance, which I think is such a dirty word, or too. Church attendance, ooh, that just makes me want to rebel and get mad, right? It's not about numbers. It's not about who sees who. Being here weekly is about showing up in your holy, sacred body and speaking up, giving a witness to us about how God is active in your life. So we got to listen to one another. We got to tell each other these stories during coffee hour, during Bible study, during our Wednesday evenings when we're together. When we see one another at the grocery store, we need to tell what is happening in our lives and how God is on the move. The church needs a witness to Jesus' healing, reconciling, forgiving power. Amen. Amen.